morning, this evening, whatever it is. Depends on what part of the world you're in. The book of Nehemiah. If you want to, we're going to go over our theme verse for the week. It should be on the board behind me, so that way you can look at that. Or if you'd like to turn in your Bibles, it's in Romans chapter number 10. But we're going to be getting to Nehemiah chapter number 2 here in just a second. Our verse for the week is Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Goes along in that same passage of scripture, the same thinking as we learned last week. Verse 13, for whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But here's the thing, is how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? You know, how are they going to call on somebody they don't believe in? How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And so you got the verse there, you know, how are they going to believe in something they have not even heard about? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And then we gave that emphasis last week, and how shall they preach except they be sent? And it's the same line, it's the same logic. It's the Bible is a very logical book, especially the book of Romans. Paul puts forth a great argument in so many different areas. And how is the world going to hear? How are they ever going to call on someone if they do not believe? How are they going to believe on someone they have not heard about? And how are they going to hear unless somebody on purpose goes and tells them? And what are they supposed to tell them? This is where we come. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We touched on that this morning about the importance of the word of God and ministering and witnessing to others. So let's read that all together tonight. Romans 10, 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. One more time. Romans 10, 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing. You say, Pastor, why are we trying to memorize verses or doing it as a church? It's because we are trying to grow this year. Our theme for this year is rise up and build. And what we're considering and what we're talking about in our Christian lives is that we want to be a stronger Christian today than we were at the beginning of this year. Now, we've gone through 2 months. It's February 28th. It's at the end. We're already 2 months past. Are we working on this? Are we growing in this? And we're back into our series in Nehemiah about a rise up and build, and a lot of different thoughts and a lot of different things I'm interested in this book of the Bible. It's a great story. Nehemiah is a great character. This first chapter number 1 and all the way to verse number that we stopped at, chapter number 2, verse number 9, we saw Nehemiah, a man with a burden, and how he did not get ahead of God. He prayed, and he prayed intensely, and we saw how God just kind of wove everything together and moved Nehemiah's heart as he moved the king's heart, and how somehow, miraculously, he got the ability to leave his job, which was an important position. He got the materials he needed. He got the safeguard that he needed. He even got things he didn't even ask for. Why is that? Because he did not get ahead of God. And as I've been encouraging, that this building project and rising up and growing is not something that we are trying to build what we think we need to work on. We need to take a good look at our lives and take a walk around our lives and say, God, what is it that you want me to grow on as a Christian? We go all the way back to the beginning of the year when we talked about how God desires to build his church. This is God's desire, is that we build, that we grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And when we come to this passage of scripture tonight, when we look at the story of Nehemiah, we're going to look at preparing to build. Preparing to build. And you know, how do we get ready for this? We've seen how to have a burden. We've seen how we need to build through prayer. We've seen about not getting ahead of God. But now Nehemiah is there. He's in Jerusalem, and he is taking a good look at what's going on. And tonight, I got a lot of different things. I don't know how far we'll get, but we're going to look at verses 10 through 18, and we're going to look at this idea of getting ready to build. Because at this point in time, 2 months into the year, if we're going to grow, the growing should have started, the consecration should have started, the things we want to add, the verses we want to learn, the scripture we want to be reading, the outreach that we want to encourage and get better at, they should see some fruits here already. Let's look here in Nehemiah chapter number 2. Let's look here in verse number 10. And here in verse number 10, it's you got the story. He says, when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. And we see these men, we will see them again. We even see a friend added there, and you know, they cause problems. Verse number 11, this is Nehemiah. So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. One thing I like about Nehemiah, he's a lay person. He is straight. He doesn't mince words. He doesn't talk about this journey. He doesn't talk about how it probably took 2 months and traveled all those miles. He just says, this is what we did. And you don't see any parade. You don't see any fanfare. Some people would have sent ahead and said, hey, look, we're coming. We're going to come rescue. We're going to fix everything. We're going to change everything. Not Nehemiah. He's quiet. He is hardworking. And he is a true leader. I mean, there's a lot of leadership qualities we can see in this book of the Bible. Verse 12, and it says, I arose in the night, I and some few men with me. Neither I told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me, save the beast that I rode upon. So we see he doesn't try to draw attention to himself. He doesn't try to make a big deal out of things. Instead, he goes and he surveys things on his own in the night. And it says in verse 13, I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, into the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. It was a very devastating, the picture here. This is God's place. This is Jerusalem. This is a place that was supposed to be built and beautiful as a testimony to our God. In verse 14, then I went out onto the gate of the fountain and to the king's pool, but there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. Now this gives you a picture of the fact that there's so much rubble and debris around that they could not even pass. He had to get off the beast in order to. Verse 15, then went I up in the night by the brook and viewed the wall and turned back and entered by the gate of the valley and so returned. Verse 16, he then begins to present to the rulers here the need. And the rulers knew not whither I went or what I did, neither had I as yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work. Verse 17, then said I unto them, you see the distress that we are in. He said, look, it's pretty obvious. You see these walls. You see the need here. How Jerusalem lieth waste with fire, come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. It's a reproach to the name of God to have the walls like this. Verse 18, then I told them of the hand of my God, which was of good upon me. He begins to tell them the story that remember when his brethren came and he was sitting in the palace and how he told them about all the destruction. He told about the people were scattered and it broke his heart and burdened his heart and he fasted and he prayed and he asked God to give him favor with the king. And we looked at the dates and the months and last time and showed how over a period of time he was in prayer and he was in fasting to the time where the king brings up the thought that he said. And then Nehemiah asked him to give him, good spot with the king. And then it's amazing. The king lets him go and the king provides for him as he goes. And the king even gives him protection as he goes, gives him everything he needs to do this work. He tells the people this, and then he tells them about the 3 nights he's there, and he's been walking around the city and looking at these walls. And as he talks about how God has been up to him for this, and he says, as also the king's words that he has spoken to me, he tells them the whole story. And it says, and they said, let us rise up and build. And here's the last phrase, and it says, so they strengthened their hands for this good work. Now, here's some things here. And I'm looking forward tonight to this thought here. And when we try to compare this to our own lives, how we need to build our lives and build our Christian lives and strengthen ourselves, there's some things we can learn in here. There's some things we can learn from Nehemiah's and Nehemiah's example. And I think there's some important things here. And I don't know if we're going to get to that last phrase about strengthening their hands. There are certain things we should do to be able to strengthen ourselves, to get prepared for this building project. But I want to encourage you tonight with a few things, first of all. Let's go back to the beginning here in verse number 10. This is not the main part of the message. This is probably the message in a few weeks. You see that there's opposition. I tell you, the moment you make a decision to go serve God, and the moment you make a decision that, hey, I'm going to change things, I'm no longer happy with the status quo, I no longer am happy with being complacent, I'm no longer happy with just sitting and being in the same spot I was before, I want to grow in my Christian walking. As soon as you make that decision, you know what's going to happen? The devil's not going to be happy. The devil's going to send problems, and the devil's going to start causing issues in your life. And you see in the story in verse number 10, these men here, Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, it says that they were grieved them exceedingly that someone would come, a man, to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. They were completely discouraged. They were upset. They could not believe that someone would even consider doing this. I want you to understand, when we begin seeking to change the things in our lives for the better, we're going to get a target on our back. The devil is always disturbed. The troops of the enemy get riled up and they begin to resist the work of building and rebuilding our lives. The enemy is content. If you're happy just to sit and not grow as a Christian, if you're happy in your Christian life without reading your Bible and without praying and just showing up to church, the devil's fine with you. He's not gonna, he says, you're not causing any problem. You're just sitting there. He says, I'm content with what's going on. But when you begin to feel and that you have a desire to begin something more for God, when you come to seek to grow in your Christian walk, the devil's gonna have people there. And this is just a side note, because we're going to look at this at the end of the chapter, that these men begin to mock and make fun of Nehemiah and the things that they're trying to do. They are not from Jerusalem. They are not people who are involved in this project. They are just despised and completely upset because somebody would dare to come and do something in their lives. And let me encourage you, in your Christian walk, when you say, hey, I'm going to live for God, I'm going to choose to do more for the Lord, I'm going to choose to make myself a stronger Christian by God's help and God's grace, there are going to be people who are going to say, hey, you don't need to do that. There are going to be people who are going to mock you. There are going to be people who are going to be distressed. Yeah, I sometimes wonder, what are you distressed about? Why are you worried about what we're doing? Some people think we're crazy because we believe that God created the heaven and earth. Why do they mock us? Why don't they just look at us and say we're crazy? Just let them do what they want. It's because the devil uses individuals to try to discourage us from our walk. Maybe at the beginning of the year you said, you made a commitment. You said, you know what? I agree. I agree that God wants me to grow this year as a Christian. I'm not going to be satisfied. I'm not going to be happy with just being where I'm at. I want to become a better Christian. I want to get closer to God this year. I want to learn more than I've ever learned before. I want God's blessing to be on my life. You know what? Some people will go to you and say, oh, you don't have to worry about that. You don't have to do that. You're just fine. Look at the rest of the world. You know what? That's the devil using somebody to try to discourage you from growing as a Christian. It might even be a mate. It might even be a parent. It might even be a sibling, a child. Let me encourage you. Let God work and speak in your heart about what He wants you to do this year. A couple things I think is important in preparing to build. The first thing I want you to see is we need rest and refocus. Now, that's kind of a weird word to start. Well, look what it says in verse number 11. It says, so I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. See, he finally gets to Jerusalem, which is a 1,000-mile trip. It takes approximately 2 months, and there is a lot of people that would have said, hey, let's go and let's tell the whole world that we're coming. Nehemiah doesn't do this. He keeps a low profile. He doesn't do anything for 3 days. He said, why in the world do you do this? I'm sure it's a long journey. It's a hard journey. And his body is needing the rest. Some people don't know how to rest. Some people don't know how to slow down. They equate spirituality with being busy 7 days a week. But Jesus Christ, he even took time for rest from the ministry. He established, God himself, he even established a day of rest. He made it the Sabbath in the Old Testament. This is the Lord's day today. It's a time to slow down. It's a time to reflect. It's a time to refresh yourselves. And you know what? If people try to be busy 7 days a week, many times this will cause them to be slow in their work. Nehemiah gives himself 3 days of rest from his long journey, but also to refocus for the work that was ahead. You say, what did Nehemiah do during these 3 days? I don't know. If you read throughout the whole book, you know what you're going to find what Nehemiah did? He stopped and he prayed. He rested and he prayed. He rested and he prayed. I want to encourage you in your walk with the Lord. There's times where you need rest to be able to let your body to be able to recuperate. I tell you, if I don't get a certain amount of time and a certain during a certain someday during the week to just kind of relax or let get refocused on things, I'm really no good for that week. I can, and there's many times when I have to go day after day after day, and I'm not whining, I'm not complaining. I know some of you say, "Well, preacher, what do you do all week anyway?" That's fine. If people want to feel that way, that's good. But you know, there are times when you need to stop and be able to, as the Bible says, that we need to take that day to put it towards the Lord and rest and let our body. Be able now. Did God need to rest on the seventh day because He was so tired from creating the world? No, He gave it to us as an example that our bodies need this, and God has made us this way. Let's see. Here. It's safe to say that He spent the time resting from this 2-month journey, but He also prayed. It's important. You see, in this book, as we learned already, that prayer is important. One preacher calls Nehemiah a leader from the knees up. Abraham Lincoln said, "I have been driven many times to my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. Mine own wisdom and that of those about me seemed insufficient." We need to take time to hear from God. Next thing I want you to see, and this is a good part of the message here, is we need to take time to investigate before we initiate. We need to take time to investigate before we initiate. Say, "Pastor, where do you get this?" Well, you see here in verses 12 through 16, Nehemiah goes and he investigates the problems. A good leader does not rush into the work, but patiently gathers the facts firsthand and then plans a strategy. Before Nehemiah began, he was determined to know the worst first. He makes a careful probing of examination of the whole situations. And he begins going through, and you see here in verse number 13, he begins to go out by night. He begins to look at the different areas. You see where it talks about the dung port and the dragon well and the walls of Jerusalem and the gates that are consumed with fire. In verse 14, it talks about the fountain and the king's pool. And he talks about all the debris. He diagnoses the situation of what's going to happen. And I tell you that's what I think, if we're going to get prepared to build and we want to rise up in our Christian lives, I think we need to take a good look around our lives and see where is it that we're lacking at. Just as Nehemiah took those 3 days and he went up and he looked around and he says, "Okay, that's something I need to work on. And over there, that needs to be worked on. Right there, something that we got to fix. And this is something we got to prepare. This is something we got to do." I think it'd be good if we took a look around our lives and said, "You know what? I'm struggling when it comes to spiritual things. I really need to be a better prayer person. I need to get in my prayer closet a little bit more. Or I need to get in the scriptures a little bit more. Or I need to be listening to the Holy Spirit more." Or maybe you could say, "Okay, spiritually I'm okay. But maybe physically I need to work on being in a little bit better shape and better health, you know, because I want to be a good servant of God, and I want to be something that I can grow and God can use me." Or maybe financially, I need to start working a little bit on that. I need to be able to be a little bit better with my money. It's not my money anyway. It's God's money, and I should be a better steward of it. Or maybe inside my family, I could learn about being a better husband or a better father or a better mother or a better wife or a better child, whatever it is, a better grandparent. Or maybe in my relationships, am I really stewarding anybody? Am I really mentoring anybody? Am I really discipling anybody? Am I encouraging anybody in their Christian walk? I think it's good for us to take time with an open Bible and open scriptures and say, "In my life, is there something I need to work on?" But see, that takes time. That takes a time where we sit and we rest and we ask God to work and speak to our hearts, and we examine certain areas of our lives. There have been times when I've looked at different subjects into my life and different parts. You know, there's my family life, there's a financial side of me, there's spiritual. I know it all works together, but start looking at individual areas and say, "You know what, this is something I need to struggle at. This is something I struggle with. This is something I need to work on." But see, we need to take time to look at those things and remind us of those things. And I see Nehemiah here. If we're preparing to build, one of the first things we need to do is figure out what the problem is. And you say, "Well, Pastor, I can't figure it out." Well, ask your husband or your wife. They probably could tell you lots of things that are wrong with you. So, and if you really want to know what's wrong with you, ask your children. They'll tell you. I guess beyond, maybe they wouldn't tell you. They might be a little scared. But at the same time, you know, here's the thing. When's the last time you've really taken a good look around your life? We, in the book of Haggai, at the end of the year, we preached that last message about consider your ways. It's because we're talking about rising up and building. And, you know, let's take a walk around and let's look at what's the areas we need to struggle with. Is there a sin that's been, I've been struggling with for years? let's strengthen our hands to stop that sin. If there's areas of our life like our family areas, you know, let's learn more scriptures. Let's strengthen our hands and get ready and prepared to fight this battle, to prepare to rise up. You know, we can continue on looking at our lives and say, I know I had this problem. I have this need. What am I going to do with it? Am I just going to sit there and let it be a sore on my life that, you know, the whole world sees? Or am I going to do something to try to rise up and do better with it? We should do our walking before we do our talking. We should go to God before we go to others. We need to take for you the situation, and I see in this passage of scripture, that's exactly what Nehemiah does. He doesn't go ask other people. He doesn't go ask the religious leaders. He doesn't go ask the priests. He doesn't go ask these other people their opinions. And we should not let people determine what needs to be done. We need to allow God to do the work. I know I just said you can ask your husband, you can ask your wife, you can ask your kids. That was jokingly God with an open heart and an open spirit say, Lord, I need some help here. I want to grow. What is it that I need to change? I wouldn't have to ask that question very often because I already know the things I need to work on. And if we're close to the Lord, He will prompt us on the things we need to change. You say, why didn't Nehemiah ask people? Well, here's some reason why I believe that Nehemiah didn't ask people. I think these are some good things that you might want to write down. Don't let people determine what needs to be done. Allow God to do the work. He doesn't go looking for advice. Instead, he lets God decide what should be done. Remember, we learned from the last lesson, don't get ahead of God in the project. You'll always have people with their opinion. There's three different people, and the reason why I think it's important to understand that we need to let God do our counseling for us is because, first of all, you're going to have the first person is the person who's content with the status quo. You know, he might have went up to a priest and said, hey, I think we need to rebuild the walls. You know what the priest could have said? You know, we haven't had those walls for years and we're just fine. We don't need to build. You know what? It's not a big deal. And that's where a lot of people in our Christian lives will say, you know what? Why do we need to change? You know, we're getting along just fine. The question is, do you want to just get along? And that's not what I want to do in my Christian life. I don't want to just get along anymore. I want to see God work. I want to see God move. And the answer is we should want to rise up and build. Doesn't God have more for you? Doesn't God have more for me? Isn't now the time to look at our lives and say, you know what? I'm not satisfied with just going on the way I am. I, like the Apostle Paul, that I might know him, that he had a desire to know him better and to be closer with him and develop that relationship more. He wanted to see God work in his heart and life. He wasn't just satisfied to sit and say, hey, look, I did this in the past. He says, no, I want to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. You have some people that is quo. You'll have some people that are skeptical. You have some people say, that's never going to work. You will. You're going to have somebody say, hey, let's start this ministry. Let's try to change. Let's try to build these walls. And somebody's going to raise their hand and say, you know what? Ezra tried to do that a few years ago. It didn't work then. Why would it work now? And I tell you, and some people say, well, that makes logic. No, if God puts something in your heart to do, then rise up and build. Rise up and change in your life. Because you know what? There will be people that are skeptical. And there are times when people will tell you, it's too big. It's too hard. That it'll never happen. That it never can be done. But those are the type of people that become a challenge. Now, it's important to learn from history that just because somebody tried it before doesn't mean that we shouldn't try it again. It's in God's timing. It's in God's way. You think about Thomas Edison. How many times did it take him before he ever got to the light bulb? According to what I read, it says he had over 1,000 unsuccessful attempts. Over 1,000. And they asked Edison, how does it feel to fail 1,000 times? He says, it didn't fail 1,000 times. It took 1,000 steps to get to it. And so here's the thought is you're going to have people that are going to be skeptical and they're going to say, why do you need to do that? I know the preacher always says that we should want to be spirit-filled. The preacher always says that we should want to grow, but that's too hard. That's too tough. You can't do that. That's why you take time. You get alone with the Lord and you begin looking at your life and analyzing your life according to what the Word of God says and let God do the work in your heart. Let God chisel away the hard faces and say, you know what? I'm not happy with the status quo anymore. I'm not happy with those that says it can't be done. I want to let God use me because in Nehemiah's day and time, that's what the skeptics would have said. Also, there is people who are self-absorbed. People who are self-absorbed. You say, what do you mean? Well, There are people in this world that will look at everything and say, how does this affect me? Sometimes I talk about a new ministry. And I say, okay, we're going to go out and we're going to try to do this. And God's put something in my heart. Let's use the example about teaching a new Sunday school class. You know, and that's something I wanted to do for years. We did a little bit last year with our teenagers and their kids. But it's something I think is needed to strengthen these families that have children at home in this age group. But you know what? How some people might look at it and say, well, I don't want to not be in the pastor's class, which I don't know who would ever say that. But you know, I don't want to, you know, people look at it from their own side of things. They look at it, they're worried about how things are going to affect me. And you know, how much work am I going to have to do? How much is this going to bother me? And this is a challenge inside our homes, inside our family. They only see the problem as it relates to their own needs. It's not in conjunction with the whole family. And one of the greatest challenges that a leader has, and especially a pastor has, is that people will look at a ministry as a whole. Not just how it affects an individual person or individual family, but they got to see that, hey, as a church, I am part of a family that has a greater goal and has more purpose to it than what happens to me personally. The cause of Jesus Christ is greater than any of our own personal needs, greater than any of our own personal ambitions. The cause of the church is one that pushes forward and says, hey, I'm going to reach people for Jesus Christ. We're going to build something here that's going to glorify and it's going to honor God. But sometimes people are so self-absorbed in their own thinking, in their own life. Hey, if we don't do it this way, then I'm going to have to change my routine over here. I remember back home when they went from having a 7 o'clock at night church service to 6 o'clock at night church service, lots of people didn't want to do it. Why is it? Wasn't the fact it was better for other people or the whole ministry. It was the fact, well, I don't want to come to church early. I don't like how it affects my schedule. I don't like, and it's the me thing. And I want to understand that, you know, it's not what we can get out of a church. It's what we can give into a church. And we got to let God work in our heart. And we got to let God work in our mind and realize our challenge is to want to serve the Lord. There's challenges that are before us. It's getting people to understand the big picture. You think about the prodigal son. You know, why was there a problem in the family? And one of the number one problems in families today is selfishness. The truth of the matter is people want things their own way. A wife wants to get things her own way, so she'll pout until she gets it. A husband thinks that, hey, I'm going to do things. I'm the way. I'm the man of the family. I'm going to, you know what? He doesn't consider his family. He doesn't consider the best interest of the family. I'm going to force my way through it. And you know what? That's a selfishness. The reason why we have brats today is because there are kids that are selfish. They only want what they want. It's got to be the way I want it done. And I don't care what anybody else says. And we have some kids, and thankfully they're not at our church, I'm sure, right? That are, you know, you bring them into a children's activity and they are a spoiled brat. Why is that? Because they run their house. And because they run their house, they are so self-absorbed. When you try to tell them, hey, sit down and be quiet, they're just acting whatever they want because we're trying to do a lesson over here. And they're acting like a spoiled brat. Why is that? It's because they're so me-focused. And why didn't Nehemiah go and ask people opinions? It's because he knew somebody was going to say, it can't be done. He knew someone was going to say, we haven't had walls for years. What's the big deal? God told him, build the walls. And he's going to say, some people are going to say, you know what? I don't feel like the work, so I don't feel like taking the effort it's going to take, because it takes work to build a wall. It does. It takes a lot of, and you're going to see that he gives certain jobs and he gives certain portions and everyone gets involved and there's a work that goes along with it. And you know what? And they build this wall to the glory and honor of Jesus Christ, and they do it in record time. It's because people strengthen their hands. And he shows the need. He says in verse 17, he goes to him and says, Jerusalem lieth in waste. And he says, and this is important to understand, the problem has to be clearly defined. The problem has to be looked at and say, here it is. We have a problem. And this is what in our lives, if we're ever going to rise up and build, we have to say, I have a problem. There is something in my life that needs to change. I have an anger issue. I have a selfishness issue. I have the way I treat my family issue, or I'm bad with my finances, or I'm this. We have to see that there is a problem. And then we have to understand that he expresses this, and he says, here's the way you're going to fix it. Here's the solution. And it says, life in a waste, and he says, there, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem. He says, let's get these things fixed. And you see in verse number 18, how he wins the people over. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me. People want to see God working. I mean, I love missions conference, and one of the reasons why I love missions conference is because you get to hear Brother Godfrey's stories or some other missionary stories. Isn't it cool to hear how God worked and answered prayers? I mean, and obviously if a guy's been doing it for 20, 30, 40, 50 years, he's going to have stories that maybe we've never heard before. And you see how God answers the prayer right at that moment, right at that time. And you see God working. And you know what? That's something that we're willing to support. That's something we're willing to get excited about. That's something that we say, hey, look, I want to jump on board with that. It's because they see God working in their lives. Christian, this is where we need to let God work and see us have victories. God wants us to be a victorious Christian. God wants us to have a life that shows victory after victory after victory. Now, are things going to be hard sometimes? They sure are, because when we start growing, the devil's going to come after us fiercely. I don't even know if that's a word or not, but he's going to come after us hard. He's going to try to hurt us. He's going to send the Tobias. He's going to send those people that are send ballots, and he's going to send these people in our lives and says, you can't do it. He's going to say, it's just too hard. He's going to say, if you do this, it's going to take a little bit of work, and you're already busy enough. I know that it might seem like a little bit hard, difficult of a message, but the only way that we're ever going to rise up and build is if when we stop listening to the opinions of others, especially other ones that are not trying to grow as a Christian. I know that one of the ways we strengthen our hands is by listening to godly counsel, but you know what? We've been listening to the wrong people for way too long. We need to let God work in our heart and then go to people that we see God working in their hearts and say, please help me. Help me grow as a Christian. I don't think we're going to get to that last point, which is not only do we need rest and refocus, not only do we need to investigate before we initiate, we need to strengthen our hands for our work. And you see that in the last part of verse number 18, it says, let us rise up and build. And that's what the people responded. They were excited. They said, let's go ahead and do this. And he says, and they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. You know what they did? They made preparations. They said, okay, we got work ahead of us. Let us get organized. Let us see the sacrifice. Let us count the cost. And then let us strengthen our hands. They said, okay, if we're going to do this over here, we need to get this ready and this ready and this ready. If I'm going to need all these days and I need to get this situated, I need to stop doing this, I need to work on this, they strengthened themselves. They made themselves able. And that when we preach about the series of Rise Up and Build, we're going to look at seven different ways that we can strengthen our hands in building our Christian life. And I don't want to go through them quickly. I want to be able to spend some time here how we can strengthen our hands as Christians to get us ready to build. Because I think most of us would say we have a need, but are we doing anything about it? Are we preparing to build? Say, Pastor, why are we doing verses every week? It's because we're trying to strengthen our hands. Why are we having family devotions at home? It's because we're trying to strengthen our hands. Why are we being faithful to church? We're trying to strengthen our hands. Why are we? It's because we're trying to get ourselves ready for the work. If we're going to rise up and build, we're going to have people out there that are happy with the status quo. We're going to have people out there who are saying that are skeptical. We're going to have people that are self-absorbed that says, it can't be done. Stop trying. Just be happy with the way you are. You know what? That's a church that dies. It's like the church of Ephesus. They lost their first love. They stopped serving for God. They stopped being inspired by the fact that the Lord was the one that they were serving for, and that they just wanted to keep on pushing forward. They labored. They did a work. They were patient. But they did it just to find the status quo. They just wanted to keep on going. Let's rise up and build this year. Let's let God take some time alone with the Lord. You say, well, I don't have time. Nehemiah did it at night. Take a day away. I mean, to go and say, if you told your husband or your wife, hey, look, I want to go away for a few hours to spend some time alone with the Lord, I think most of them would say, that's great. That's wonderful. Go ahead. Take a day. You know, go spend some time alone with the Lord. We'll do everything. We're good here. You know, we know that you need that. Spending time alone with God is necessary. That's what your prayer closet is about. Away from everybody else. You can ask my wife. It drives me crazy when I hear noise when I'm trying to study. She's my secretary up there, and sometimes, you know, she's got to use the phone or she's got to talk to somebody. And so I'll have to shut my door, and sometimes I shut it a little bit louder than I'm supposed to, and it just kind of rattles a little bit. It's because I want her to be quiet. You say, why is that? It's because I want that alone time. And she says, well, you have a study in the back, and so that's where I need to go, is to study. And it's, you know, even at her house, it's like, can you guys just quiet downstairs if I'm upstairs reading? And he says, well, we got dogs, we got boys. You know, it's not a very quiet spot. He said, what are you getting at? We need to find some time where we could be alone with the Lord. And it's not just being busy doing other things while you're driving. It's a good time to talk to the Lord, but we need some time where we can focus on Him. We open up His Word and say, let me take a good walk around my life. Is there something I need to work on? Is there an area that I struggle with that I need to strengthen my hand? That I need to have a resolution here with God's help and with these verses. I'm going to claim the victory, and by faith I'm going to move forward in this area. And I'm not going to listen to the people that are skeptical. I'm not going to listen to the people that are status quo and they're happy and they're satisfied with where they're at. That's fine for them. That's not okay with me. I'm not going to be self-absorbed. I'm not going to say it's going to be too hard. I'm going to do what God has asked me to do. And you say, well, that's fine. That's all I'm doing. Have you taken a good walk around your life lately and just looked at it and said, that's not really scriptural. That's not really what God spoke to my heart last year about. During that revival service, I told the Lord I would be willing to be more of a witness. I told Him I would be willing to give more. I told Him I'd be willing to get more involved. Have we taken that walk around with the Lord and with the Holy Spirit being our teacher and our guide and say, like Nehemiah did, let's see what's wrong. Let's see how to fix it. And let's move forward. And we see in this story, Nehemiah just, you know, it's great. The Lord prepares these men's hearts. They said, let us rise up and build. And, you know, I am very thankful. I know I jokingly talked about, you know, people being fighting the things we do here. And, you know, we don't have that as a church spirit. I think we have a very good spirit of the church. I don't, usually when I have an interest in doing something, most time people are behind us. I talked to the deacons tonight about the, you know, different things we're going to talk about in the business meeting. They were all happy with it. When we have a business meeting, usually there is very little friction or little, and that's not like at all churches. It's not. But at the same time, I don't want that to be the status quo here. I want us to say, you know what, we're glad we're like that, but let's look at our lives and see what we can do to push forward. Because Faith Baptist Church can be more with God's help. It's not my help. With God's help, we can move forward as a church and as individuals. But we got to stop being satisfied. We got to say, you know what, I know there's more in this Christian life than what I'm getting out of it. I know that I can get closer with God. I know I can be a better witness. I know I can do this better. I can do this better. And I can do that better. And I know that people are going to tell me, you can't do it. And I know sometimes, even in my own life, I look at a project and say, well, if I do this, it means I'm going to have to give this up, or I'm going to have to do this, or I'm going to have to change that. But it can't be about what I want. It's got to be what God wants. You might not believe this. Not everything here at the church is done exactly the way that I want it done. You say, well, you're the pastor. No, I'm not self-absorbed. I know what things work in the ministry. I know how things work and how things go. And I realize there is a church here and that God lays things upon our heart. And God has built us and brought us together the exact way that He has designed us. And I'm good with that because I know there's a whole picture of the ministry here. Do we let sin get in? No, we keep sin out. We're not talking about that. But we're talking about not worrying about our own personal preferences for the cause of Jesus Christ. And that's what we need to rise up and build. I want to grow this year as Christian. And one of the ways that we're going to do is first is that rest. Give your body the opportunity to take the rest it needs, but a refocus. We're going to investigate our own lives. We're going to walk around our life. We're going to say, what is it that I need to work on? What is it that I need to change? If I'm fearful, why am I fearful? If I'm prideful, why am I prideful? Is there something there? I'm going to work on that. And that's when I'm going to start rising up and building. Everybody would say, well, I think we needed this. I think we needed that. Nehemiah took time by prayer and fasting, and God showed him exactly what he was supposed to do. And the only way it's going to rise up and build to the glory of God this year is by taking prayer, and considering fasting, and taking a good, long, hard look at ourselves and saying, what is it that I want? What is it that God wants me to change? Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed for a time of invitation.